Deuteronomy chapter number 6. I'm going to read just a few verses, and we're going to preach for a little bit, then we're going to let the group come sing for us and end out our service today, and we're glad that they're here, and I know you're excited to hear them. Remain standing with me, Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Now, there is a famous theologian who has brought us all sorts of truth, and his name is Forrest Gump. And he's that brilliant and bright, you know, theologian, very spiritual individual. The movie Forrest Gump, starring Tom Hanks, as you know, there's a repetitious famous line in the movie, if you've ever seen it. And the line goes like this: "My mama always says," and then he would finish out something like, "Life is like what? A box of chocolates." It's a shame we know that and can't quote our Bible, all right? But he was always open up a line like that, and my mama always says. Now, if you watch the movie, most of you would view him as a simpleton, but really, if you judge him too quickly, you overlook a truth that's really true of all of us that is here. That what was true in the life of Forrest Gump is true of probably every adult in this room, and it's this: your parents' words will have an impact on you. Many of you could say, "My daddy used to say," or "My dad taught," or "My mama said," or "My mom taught," and you remember these things. Many of you could say that. Now, we say that now as adults, but just let me remind you that one of these days, your children will grow up to say, "My mom believed," and "My dad believed," or "My mom said," or "My daddy used to say." Your words will have an impact upon your children. And here in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 6, Moses is writing to the children of Israel, and he is reinstating the law of God as they have entered into the promised land. And he has gathered the children of Israel together, and he reminds them of the words of God. He reminds the parents, listen, it is your responsibility to train and to teach your children the things of the Lord. So this morning, I want to start a brand new series, starting today on Mother's Day and carry it out to Father's Day, just entitled, "What Every Parent Wants Their Kids to Know." What every parent wants their children, their kids to know. And today we're going to talk about just the essentials within the home here using the text of Deuteronomy chapter number 6. I'd like to read verse 4 and we'll look at the whole chapter, but for time's sake, we'll start with verse number 4. The Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Verse 7. "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." The Bible says that there are some things that you are to tell your children and to teach your children, and the Scripture says you're to be diligent in doing this. So this morning, I want to talk about just some essentials within the home as we open up the series. And over the next few weeks, we're going to have some videos from some of our folks that are here, just sharing their testimony of what they want their children to know and what they want to teach their kids and what they hopefully have caught and what has been taught to them. So you can be seated. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we talk about essentials within the home. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace, for your mercy. And God, in times like this, Lord, where there's tragedy surrounding us within our culture, God, and right here in the life of our own church, Lord, through the storm that has passed in Ringgold and the surrounding area, we want to thank you, God, for bringing us together once again, Lord, to lift up our voice in praise and adoration to you. And God, my heart's desire is for the parents that are here, Lord, that you would give them passion and conviction of heart in such a way, Lord, to train and to teach their children the ways of God. Lord, may our children that are here today rise up and say, "Mama said," and "Daddy said." This is what they taught about the Lord. Father, I pray that you would help us to understand your word. Give us wisdom for the journey, and we will thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There was a young couple one time that had went to some friend's house, and they were discussing the theory of child raising. And they went back and forth talking about religion and talking about politics and all this and that. And the subject of a religion came up, and the couple said, "Well, we're just not going to prejudice our children in regard to religion. We're not going to force them to be Baptist or Catholic or whatever it may be. We're not going to give any prejudice towards that. When they get older, we want them to decide on their own what they're going to be. So we're leaving it up to them." Well, the host was kind of gracious, and he just, you know, said, "That's fine, I understand." He said, "But let me take you out back. I want to show you my garden." And so they went through the back door, and they walked down to this vacant lot where there was his garden that was there, and it was just overgrown with weeds, and it was an absolute mess. And the couple's really standing back, and they're kind of shocked and amazed, and they said, "Well, what are you going to do with this garden? It's really a mess. There's so many weeds. It's overgrown. What are you going to do with your garden?" He said, "Oh, I'm not going to do anything to the garden. I'm just going to let the garden determine what it wants to be." And can I tell you, friend, you and I are, we are called to train and to teach our children in such a way that we help them through the decision-making process of their life. If we leave our children on their own, they're going to be a mess. You and I have been called to cultivate the soil of their soul, to make sure that we are pulling out the weeds that really choke out their lives. There are weeds of influence that need to be pulled out. There are weeds of habits that need to be pulled out. There are things that are happening in your children's lives right now that is really choking out the spiritual vitality. I want to encourage you, don't be afraid to get rid of some of your children's friends. Don't be afraid when some worldly-looking boy comes knocking on your door and wants to date your daughter. Do not be afraid, Dad, to tell him, "Hit the road, Jack. You're not coming back here again." Don't be afraid to stand up for your kids and help them, because you say, "Well, I'm afraid I'm going to do something wrong, and I'm afraid I'm going to do the wrong thing." Your children was never called upon to make those decisions by themselves. You, as a parent, you are to guide them, you are to guard them, and you are to help them along that decision-making process, because a garden left to itself without anybody tilling it and working it and cultivating it, it will overgrow and it will choke out any beauty and vitality that that garden may have to offer. What is true of a garden is true of your children's lives. If you are not cultivating the soil of their soul and you are not tending to the garden of their life, you will find that there's all sorts of things that will choke out the spiritual vitality of what God wants them to be. If you believe that, say amen. Dr. John MacArthur, he argues in one of his books, he says, "For the past 40 years or more, the signs of the family collapse have been paraded before us continually. Divorce, the sexual revolution, abortion, sterilization, delinquency, infidelity, homosexuality, radical feminism, the children's rights movement, together with a normalization of the single-parent home, the decline of the nuclear family, and similar signs." He says, "We have been watching the braiding of an intricate rope that will ultimately strangle the family to death." That is a powerful quote. That is the culture that we are living in. We have divorce, we have the sexual revolution, all these things that he has spoken about. And he's right. It's formed this core that has wrapped around the throat of the church and the throat of the culture in our cities, and it's literally choking out the vitality of our life. I'm here to tell you, friend, there's only one way to combat that, and that's by a spiritual journey, grabbing a hold of the hand of God and asking God to bless our churches and our city and our culture once again with the power and the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe it, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen? Amen. That was former First Lady Barbara Bush, who wrote in one of her books, she said this, she says, "As important as your obligation as a doctor, a lawyer, or a business leader will be, you are a human being first, and those human connections with spouses, with children, with friends are the most important investments you will ever make. At the end of your life, you will never regret not having passed one more test, winning one more verdict, or closing one more deal. You will regret time not spent with a husband, a child, a friend, or a parent. Our success as a society depends not on what happens in the White House, but on what happens inside your house." And I'm here to tell you that is so true. What happens inside your home affects the culture. What happens inside your home affects the church. So God is calling upon parents to take the Word of God and the things of God, and sow it deep inside the soil of our human heart, to where everything we say, everything we do, impacts the next generation for the good and for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So today, as we start the series, What Every Parent Wants Their Child to Know, I want to look at the words of Moses here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and I want to give you three things that should be true in every single home. Three essentials that should be inside the heart and the home of every single parent that is here. First of all, look at me in verse number 7. The first thing to consider is this. There should be the tenacity of conviction within every home. The stubbornness of conviction that you believe who you are, what you believe, and why you do what you do. You believe it, you stand upon it, and there's no wavering. You're not going to be swayed when it comes to abortion. You're not going to be swayed when it comes to homosexuality. You're not going to be swayed when it comes to immoral and improper things. You have this tenacity. You have a conviction. Your children know what you believe and why you believe it. They know you won't be swayed to the right and you won't be swayed to the left. You're going to stay on the main road and you're going to do what God has called you to do. These things is what every child needs to know. And this is what every parent needs to impart to their children. We are living in a culture where kids are tossed to and fro. And Ephesians chapter number 4 says that we will be tossed to and fro if we are not rooted and grounded in the Word of God. So within every home, there needs to be this tenacity of a conviction within the home. Verse number 7 says this, Moses declares, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." The Bible says, "Thou shalt teach them diligently." Listen, thou shalt teach them diligently unto whose children? Thy children. When I read the Word of God, I find that parents are called to teach their children. This village mentality that is out there is garbage, folks. You and I, we don't need a village to raise our family. We need a mom and dad to raise a family. And what's happened today in our culture is the responsibility for raising our kids and influencing our kids has been abandoned by the parents, and we've allowed our children's peers to raise them and to influence them instead of the parents. I'm here to tell you, your child's peers were never meant to influence your child. It's the parent that was meant to influence their child for good, for God, and for glory. Can you say amen? I believe that with all my heart. Now, there are some so-called, psychologists out there that would disagree with me. They believe that parents can't do anything when it comes to raising their kids. They have no impact or no influence on them. As a matter of fact, Judith Rich Harris, who is a New Jersey-based grandmother and the author of several psychology books, she's insisted on her book entitled The Nurture Assumption, Why Children Turn Out the Way They Do. She states that virtually nothing parents can do will make any significant difference in the child's temperament, personality, or even their character. And here's what she argues. She says, parenting has been oversold. She writes, "You have been led to believe that you have more of an influence on your child's personality than you really do." Basically, her assumption is this, that according to her, our child's peer group, not the parents, determine what type of people your child is going to be. That is, that the parent is not involved. That the parent can't do anything of significance to make a difference in the child's temperament, personality, or character. This is what she writes. And many of you may be sitting here this morning, you say, "Well, Pastor, I agree with her. We tried to do all this and that, and I just can't do anything with my child, and I believe that she's right." And you may be sitting here today agreeing with her. Well, if you do, let me tell you why parents in our culture have less influence than parents. Why the peers, rather, have more influence than the parents. Here's why. Most parents today whose children are on a destructive path, they have abandoned the process of raising their children with a tenacious conviction of God and good and glory, and they have allowed MTV, the internet, and television, and movies, and their peers to influence their children more than the parents themselves. They've abandoned the process, and as a result, they're trying to leave it up to everybody else. Even at best, they're leaving it up to Sunday school teachers, and youth leaders, and youth pastors, and even believe in pastors to raise their children. Mom and dad, listen to me today. God never intended for a village to raise your child. God intended for you as a mom and dad to influence your children for good, for God and glory. Do not abandon your children to television. Do not abandon your children to the internet. Do not abandon your children to the pressures of their peers. You as a parent, you stand on the word of God with conviction and you help your children discover God. Can you say amen? You help them along the way. And I believe as you do, I believe that God will bless you and God will take care of you. Unfortunately for the children of Israel, even though Moses laid down the mandate for them to have conviction and that they were the ones to teach their children, verse number 7 states it, and thou shalt diligently, you know, teach them unto thy children. Unfortunately for the children of Israel, as the generations went on, that tenacious conviction of training their children was gone. And we find in the book of Judges, chapter number 2 and verse number 7, we find the older people that is there that heard and seen the works of God, they were still holding on to it. And thank God for the older people that is here. I like a church that has, you know, the brown heads, black heads, and the gray heads, amen, and the blonde heads and all this and that. And I even like the ones that have no hair, right? Like myself. And I like seeing older people, and I think the older people ought to mesh with the younger people. I believe my dad told me, and here we go with the Forrest Gump statement here. My dad said, he said, David, you'll never have two things at the same time, that strength and wisdom. He said, the older you get, the more wisdom you gain, but also the older you get, you begin to lose strength. And it's like strength and wisdom goes this way. That's why it's so important in the life of the church for the older to have the younger, so there's strength, and then for the younger to have the older where there is wisdom. And it brings a beautiful spiritual picture of what it means to be the body of Christ. Unfortunately for the children of Israel, the older people who had seen these things and heard these things, they begin to die off. Judges chapter 2 and verse number 7 says, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. What a great verse. Here's the people of that generation and even beyond who had heard of the things of Joshua and seen the things of the Lord. You see, Deuteronomy is a reinstating of the law as the people are going into the promised land. Moses is going aside. Joshua is taking them on the journey. And there's this reinstating of the law of God as he encourages them to do these things. And the people of God, they move forward with great balance and power in such a way that their children were blessed. Their homes were blessed, and the generations that came with Joshua and after, they were living for God because there was a group of parents that had a tenacious conviction. They would speak of the things of God, they would teach the things of God, and they would not sway from it. But unfortunately, somewhere down the road, that conviction left them, and in the same chapter of Judges, in verses 10 and verse 11, we read the words, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. There was a generation after that generation that had that conviction, that had that tenacity, who believed in God, who loved God. They were determined to train and teach their children. But after they were gathered unto the Lord, there arose another generation that did not know the Lord. Can I tell you this? If we fail in the area of being tenacious in our conviction as to who we are, what we believe, and why we believe it, we will render the next generations to come as victim to the culture's demise. If you don't sacrifice your children to God, you will find, friend, they will be sacrificed to the devil over and over and over again. It is time for us now to make the decision for future generations of the church, for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, to still be strong in the years to come, because we as parents now have a conviction that we will tell our children about the Lord. Can you say amen? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. So first of all, there is this tenacious conviction that should be in the home. Second of all, there should be the teaching of character within the home. Not only a conviction, but there ought to be a certain character that is taught. Look at verse 17 and verse 18. He says, ye shall diligently keep the commandment of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. Verse 18, and thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Now here there is the teaching of character within the home. According to verse 17 and verse number 18, it tells us this, that parents need to be very diligent in doing what is right in the sight of the Lord. Parents, you need to do all that you can to live your life in such a way that your lip and your life is not contradicting one another. You need to make sure what you say and what you are doing, they are lining up with the Word of God. As a matter of fact, throughout the Bible, when generations of parents neglected to plant those seeds that gave spiritual shade to future generations, those children were ruined. Those children were ruined. You see, it's your obligation and my obligation as a parent. We are to plant seeds, spiritual seeds, that grow into spiritual shades, where our children find protection from the outside elements that would hinder them and hurt them. It's your job and it's my job. Many times, let me give you this sermon statement. Many times, the spiritual seeds that we use come from the soil of our own spiritual character. Many times, what we sow into our children, they are a result of our own spiritual journey with God. How many times have you heard your parents say, God did this for me and your mama? This was going on and God did this for us. I can't tell you how many times my dad has told me, and me unaware growing up, how my mom and him begin to pray. I remember a certain time when my dad had lost his job, and it was at Christmas time, and everybody in the family, all the kids were opening up presents. And my mom and dad made a pact. They said, we're not going to buy one another anything. Let's just buy for the four kids. Let's make sure they have a Christmas. And that morning, everybody opened something up, and my mom, she went ahead and broke the contract. She bought my dad something, but I remember my mom not having anything there on Christmas. And I wondered why and all this and that. Growing up later, I found out that things was hard when dad lost work. It was difficult trying to raise a family of four. My daddy tells me now how he got on his knees and he began asking God to watch out over his family and to pray for his children, that God would provide. You see, and what happens is some of the seeds that my parents have sown into me, it's come out of the soil of their own character, their own spiritual journey. And the things that's happening to you right now, your spiritual journey, these things that God is doing within you, you are to take these experiences and you are to sow them deep into the human heart of your children. You are to talk about them. You're to talk about what you're praying for. You are to talk about that, hey, it's been great that God has blessed us and we're here today. And we weren't wiped out in the tornado. That we didn't lose everything that we had. That God blessed us. And you're to talk about these things right here and now to your children. Can you say amen? You speak of them. You praise God with them. You pray over them. And that way they have these seeds in their heart. And all of a sudden it blooms into a spiritual shade. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. If we're going to plant seeds in the heart of our children because of our spiritual character, it's got to start with you, mom and dad, fixing yourself. You say, I got to fix my kids. No, don't worry about the kids. Let's fix you first. If we can get mom and dad right, mom and dad is fixed, then the kids will line up. You see, the problem is many parents aren't right first. The problem is you're not walking with God. Let me ask you today, do you thirst for the things of God? Are you hungry for the things of God? Do you want God to bless your marriage and your ministry and your membership here at the church? Are you thirsting for God? Is your life sending your kids a message that God is first? Or is your life sending your kids a message that your relationship with God is really just cold and indifferent? Basically, you're a Sunday morning Christian. What message are you preaching? Let me ask you this. Is your own commitment to Christ, is that what you want to see in your children's lives? Your commitment to Christ right now, the way you're living your life, is that what you want to see in your children's lives as an adult? Say, oh, Pastor, no, I'm not committed like I ought to be. I should be doing more for God, and I know I shouldn't be. Let me ask you this. How about your obedience to Christ? The obedience to Christ that you have right now, is that what you want to see in your children's adult life? And you say, oh, no, Pastor. No. I don't want them to make the decisions I've made. I don't want them to do what I've done. I'm not living my life the way I should. I don't want to see that. Then change. You say, well, how do I change? You change by coming to an old-fashioned altar and asking God to forgive you and ask the Spirit of God to help you. There's not a person in here that has an S on their chest with a red cape as a Superman, Superwoman parent. We all need help. We are depraved creatures who are weak and we are cold and we are indifferent in many ways. And we need the Spirit of God's help. We need the Word of God that's a lamp under our feet and a light into our path. And you say, Brother David, I'm so afraid that I'll do something wrong. You don't understand. If I run that long-haired hippie ear-pierced, tattooed-looking, whoremonger from my house that's dating my daughter, I'm afraid I'm going to do something wrong. If I get rid of that gal who's just, ugh, she's no good, she's doing this, she's doing that, I don't want her dating my son, I'm afraid I'm going to do something wrong. And you live in fear and paranoia that you're going to do something wrong when the reality is you ought to step up and be a parent and help cultivate the soil of the soul of your children. Don't be afraid. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. One commentator refused that. Listen to what he says. Here's the assumption. He says, the truth is that such people are not a product of something their parents did to them. They are a product of what their parents did not do to them. It's not what your mom and daddy did. It's what your mom and daddy didn't do. And when your children get older and they're going through this decision process right now as teenagers, let me tell you, teenagers cannot make a wise decision. And I'm going to tell that to all my teenagers. I love y'all, but you need your mom and dad. I know you think you have arrived, but you haven't, okay? You need mom and daddy. You need grandma and grandpa. You need this bald-headed preacher to help you along the way. You say, well, you know, you're such a stick in the mud. Yeah, I may be a stick in the mud. If I am a stick in the mud, it's theological mud. It's kept me solid and sound from falling over in the storm. What you need, see, it's not what we did to them. Rules, law, you know, regulations, being at home at a certain time. You're not going to do this. You're not going to do that. You're not going to go here. You're going to be home at this time. You're not going downtown. You're not going to. It's not what we did. It's what we didn't do that really hurts them and doesn't help them along the way. Let me finish real quickly. Not only is there this tenacity of conviction that should be within the home, and there should be this teaching of character within the home, diligently telling them what to do is right. But last of all, there should be the testimony of Christ within the home. Look at verse 20 to verse 25. And when thy son asks thee in time to come. See, there's going to come a time, friend, that your children today, they're going to have an adult conversation with you. They're going to look back on this journey of life, and they're going to come to you with some questions. And here's the answers that we are to have, he says in verse 20. And when thy son asks thee in time to come, saying, what means the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded? Daddy, what's the Word of God saying here? Mama, what does the Word of God mean here? Why should we have this conviction? Why should we have this character? Why should Christ be the Lord of our life? Verse 21, then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondsmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all the household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which we swear unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our God always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded it. Verse 23 says, he brought us out thence that he might bring us in. Ladies and gentlemen, here is a beautiful picture of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. When your children come to you and say, Daddy, why are we to stand on the Word of God? Daddy, why are we to have that character? Daddy, why are we to have that conviction? Daddy, why is Christ to be the center of our home? We say, we are to do it because he has brought us out of sin and he has brought us into his glorious kingdom. He has saved us with a mighty hand. Can you say amen? And that's the nail-pierced hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Give him praise and glory for what he's done for all of us by dying for us on Calvary. Can you say amen? The parents were to say, God brought us out of the land and God has brought us into the promised land. So ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, here's what you need to do. The main job of every parent is to be an evangelist within the home. That's your job and my job. You're to be an evangelist within the home. You are to win your children to Christ. You're to have that conviction and that character and the person of Christ in your home in such a way, listen, as you seize every single opportunity to highlight the gospel and the goodness and the grace of God in your family's lives. Every time God does something good, you tell your kids about it. Every time that God answers a prayer, you tell your kids about it. Every opportunity that you have, and the opportunities are all around us. All around us. You had a great opportunity. If you're here today and you are breathing, you had an opportunity to say, God brought us through the storm. And not only the physical storms, but the spiritual storms God has brought you through. You highlighted what every parent wants your child to know. Essentials in the home. We've got conviction, we have character, and we have Christ within our home. Father, I pray, Lord, for our parents here today. I pray, God, when the invitation comes at the end of the service, God, that you will help us to grow in grace and goodness and for your glory. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to give the sisters just a hand clap as they come. We're glad they're here with us today. You welcome them as they come and they sing for us. And again, we want to say Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. And let's give all of our moms a hand clap. Amen.